Once upon a time, Goldilocks discovered some delicious iced coffee in someone else's home.
This Dunkin' Cold is just right. And this Dunkin' Cold is just right. And this Dunkin' Cold is just right.
She sipped on and on, blissfully unaware that the bear stood watching.
Barry, say something.
Roar. Was that good?
The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Welcome to The Megyn Kelly Show, live on SiriusXM Channel 111 every weekday at noon East. Hey everyone, I'm Megyn Kelly. Welcome to The Megyn Kelly Show. Today, I'm joined by a mother who was in the fight of her life to save her daughter from radical transgender ideology after a California middle school introduced it into the curriculum. Luckily, she was one of the ones able to successfully turn things around for her daughter, to save her daughter from this cult. And she's now advocating for other children and parents who fall victim to this ideology. You must hear her story. Joining me now, Erin Friday, California attorney and co-lead of Our Duty USA, a nonpartisan advocacy group.
Once upon a time, Goldilocks discovered some delicious iced coffee in someone else's home.
This Dunkin' Cold is just right. And this Dunkin' Cold is just right. And this Dunkin' Cold is just right.
She sipped on and on, blissfully unaware that the bear stood watching.
Barry, say something.
Roar. Was that good?
The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Erin, I'm so glad to have you here. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm so sorry about what was done to your daughter. I was increasingly outraged as I read her story, and not least because I feel like our old New York City school was trying to send kids down this same path. I know they still are. I just saw a parent from that school the other day, and I just talked to a mom yesterday who was telling me about her friend whose daughter was sucked into this ideology, had previously shown no gender confusion, and has now socially transitioned to being a boy. And the mother's in a full panic, and the mother's sitting there saying, but I got her therapy, I got her therapy, not knowing, no, that's not what you want to do unless it's a very well-chosen therapist. They're going to shove her down the road. So can we start with your personal story, and then we'll talk about what's happening in California.
Sure. So my story is actually pretty typical, as you just expressed. Our schools are now teaching these kids that there is such a thing called gender identity, and they're going in lower and lower classes, even at the TK. So that's pre-kindergarten. They're reading stories to children that they could be born in the wrong body. And they're getting that dose all through their academic careers, even in private schools, as you know. And when that child is then going through, you know, puberty, which is distressful, especially for girls like my daughter, they suddenly decide that they want to, you know, jump ship. They no longer want to be a girl because it's uncomfortable getting hips, getting breasts, getting their period. And they think that boys have it easier. And so they think that they can just wave this magic wand and become a boy because that's what their teachers have been telling them. So that happened to my daughter. She was distressed, lonely. It was COVID, all alone, living in this virtual, you know, reality, and then getting groomed online. So she got a good dose at school. And then the groomers come out as soon as she put on her Instagram account, FTM, female to male. This is a calling card for pedophiles, for older groomers to find her and help her disassociate with her body more. And once it's concretized, then the child comes out to the parents. You know, they have a script. It's well, versed. And then there's no help in the medical community whatsoever. Every doctor I took my daughter to told me to affirm her. Every psychiatrist, psychologist told me to accept that I had a new son and to celebrate it and to forget those 13 years that I had raising her as a girl with, you know, really girly tendencies, that that all was a charade and that she was just waiting to come out as the boy that she is. So parents, you know, we walk this alone. It is a lonely, difficult journey because everyone is against the parent, from the teachers to the doctors, to even sometimes your own family members and your friends. And it's a lonely, difficult task to swim upstream and pull your child out of what I call the gender cult, because that's what it is.
Yes. Oh, it's so disturbing. So was the school, in your case, working against you?
Oh, absolutely. So the school had changed her name and pronouns behind my back. This was a school that had never set eyes on my daughter because it was COVID and it was freshman year of high school. So they knew nothing about her. They changed her name, pronouns. And when I called the school to read them the Riot Act, not really knowing what I was getting myself into, because you know, I was a good little liberal. I read the New York Times and never heard anything about this gender ideology that was underfoot. But I called the school and I, you know, laid into them, and they told me that the school needed to be a safe space for my daughter. Now my daughter's going to school down the hall from me, so by extension, I was unsafe, and the school make clear that I was unsafe because they called Child Protective Services and the police that then showed up at my house.
Because you wouldn't affirm?
Well, they did it under the guise of, we think she may be suicidal, but it was definitely a signal of, listen, parent, we're in charge here. And if we want to call your daughter a male name and male pronouns, that's what we're going to do.
Is there any thought, I mean, when you, because I was talking to this other mom yesterday, it wasn't her child, but a friend of hers was just going through this. And I said, you know, please tell me that she hasn't started the puberty blockers into cross-sex hormones. She said, no, but she's socially transitioned, the daughter. And I was like, oh, you know, that's very hard to pull back from too, which a lot of people don't know how dangerous and how big a step social transition is. I'm just guessing in California, absolutely nobody flagged any of that for you.
No, of course not. I was told the opposite. I was told that my daughter would commit suicide if I did not socially transition her. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I was told that, I would be a millionaire. This is how they hold the parents hostage. And if you are a terrified parent, which most are, you listen to the doctors, because at some point we trusted the medical community. We can no longer do that. But yeah, social transition is so dangerous. I tell parents who come to me, and I work with thousands, do not capitulate. Do not call your child by another name and pronouns. If anything, use no name or use a pet name you used as a child. But the parents have to be the off-ramp for the child to come back to biological reality. And the parents buy in, even if they're doing it just to go along, to get along, it is a huge mistake and it gets concretized even more. And as soon as that child turns 18, they are going to be off to Planned Parenthood and getting those syringes of testosterone or estrogen, no questions asked, and they will be lining up to get those irreversible surgeries. I can guarantee it.
In California, they can do it even younger, can't they? I'm pretty sure you can do it during the school day during California without telling your parents.
Well, not really. Still in California, to get any type of medical intervention such as puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, or surgeries, you need parental consent. But here's the opening. Here's the really frightening part of this. We have a law that allows 12-year-olds to leave their family home for any reason and go into a residential facility. And if that child goes into that residential facility and then becomes a dependent of the state, at the age of 12, that child can then dictate their own medical treatments. And so this is what California is doing. It's pushing forth all these bills to make children be autonomous little adults and be able to leave their family home if their families are non-affirming. And this is coming to every state in the nation.
We're going to say goodbye to the SiriusXM audience in a minute and take this over to podcast and YouTube. But before, I want the Sirius audience to hear what help you need before we sign off. So just bottom line it for us before we sign off.
What help? I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Yeah. Like what? I mean, because you want support with a ballot initiative, and it's, as I understand, protectkidsca.com. And I'll just give you the last minute to explain to the radio audience what that is, what that will help with.
Yes. So this is a California ballot initiative at protectkidsca.com. Anyone in the state of California can go to the website, download the petition, sign it, and send it in by May 15th. What it will do is it will stop all sex changes, so-called sex changes on children under the age of 18. So no child can get puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, or surgeries. It will get all the male bodies out of our girls' sports, bathrooms, changing rooms in the state of California, both for minors and for collegiate athletes. And the
it's a no-brainer. Okay. It's protectkidsca.com. All right. Aaron stays with us. We're going to continue. Stand by. I'm Megyn Kelly, host of The Megyn Kelly Show on SiriusXM. It's your home for open, honest, and provocative conversations with the most interesting and important political, legal, and cultural figures today. You can catch The Megyn Kelly Show on Triumph, a SiriusXM channel featuring lots of hosts you may know and probably love. Great people like Dr. Laura, Glenn Beck, Nancy Grace, Dave Ramsey, and yours truly, Megyn Kelly. You can stream The Megyn Kelly Show on SiriusXM at home or anywhere you are, no car required. I do it all the time. I love the SiriusXM app. It has ad-free music, coverage of every major sport, comedy, talk, podcast, and more. Subscribe now. Get your first 3 months for free.
Go to SiriusXM.com/MKShow to subscribe and get 3 months free. That's SiriusXM.com/MKShow and get 3 months free. Offer details apply.
Once upon a time, Goldilocks discovered some delicious iced coffee in someone else's home.
This Dunkin' Cold is just right. And this Dunkin' Cold is just right. And this Dunkin' Cold is just right.
She sipped on and on, blissfully unaware that the bear stood watching.
Barry, say something.
Roar. Was that good?
The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
If we can just go back to your daughter's story. This piece of it reminds me so much of what I experienced at my daughter's all-girls school in New York City before we pulled our kids and moved to Connecticut. My daughter was in grade school, maybe third grade, but there was a contagion happening in the 10th grade. And it was there out of maybe a class of 60 girls, there was something like 10 or 11 girls who had suddenly said they're trans, that they're actually boys at an all-girls school. Never before anything like this at this school or any of the other private schools in New York. And as you know, the gender confusion was always typically a male issue, almost never a female issue. And I spoke with another mom at the school, a very committed lefty, saying it's a social contagion. She was offended and told me I was wrong. There's no such thing. This was a legitimate thing. And, you know, maybe I was playing fast and loose with the numbers. Well, needless to say, it was all true. I was right about my numbers. It was a social contagion. And more now, even liberals are starting to see this because they love their kids just as much as conservatives do. And they've been sold a false bill of goods about what empathy looks like and what's necessary to, quote, help your child. Well, you too saw something happen in your daughter's Girl Scout troop.
That's right. About half of the Girl Scout troop came out as trans or something on the LGBTQ spectrum. And that was very typical because these kids are given this whole list of different identities that they can jump into. And it's intriguing. especially when they're learning that being a white middle-class girl with two parents that are together and own a car are now oppressors. The way that they can jump in and become a victim is to glum on to some LGBTQ plus identity, and that then gives them some status. So it's definitely a social contagion. We know that social contagions traditionally start with adolescent girls, bulimia, anorexia, cutting, the feigning. We know this, and this is no different, except that we're medicalizing these children and we're concretizing their beliefs.
Yeah, and causing what Abigail Schreier accurately termed irreversible damage to them, whether it's losing our sex organs or creating infertility in a perfectly healthy child or the inability to have a normal sex life. I mean, all of this to minors who can't possibly consent to it. One of the many reasons you're now fighting back in the bluest of blue states. You mentioned groomers on the internet. I think that's of interest to our audience. So how does that happen? Especially because you seem like an attentive, loving, involved parent. So I think attentive, loving, involved parents think this can't happen to them.
Well, that's the tragedy, and that's where I fall on the sword. I thought I was an on top of it parent. I looked at my daughter's phone. I monitored her social media, but these kids are smarter than us, and she created all these fake accounts that I watched, and then she had these other accounts that I was unaware of through Discord, even Pinterest. These kids can DM each other. They get in touch with each other on Google Live Docs. And these older kids, like there's 16, 17-year-old girls who say that they're non-binary or trans, are teaching the 12 and 13-year-old girls. And so there's this grooming going on among these young kids themselves. And then there are the adults that hop in. So I was able to look at things on my daughter's Instagram that would, you know, curl your toes. It was so foul. Older men telling her to send naked pictures of her because it's not her body after all. She's going to have a male body in the future. So this is the predatory aspect of the trans movement. And it happens to the boys too. I don't want to leave out the boys because, you know, the social contagion is now hitting them also. But these young boys are being tricked through really foul pornography too. It's called sissy porn. And these young boys are being exposed to it, and they can't distinguish reality versus acting or, you know, predatory behavior. And so these boys are getting confused and thinking that they are women now too because of the porn that's being fed to them. I mean, the porn that my daughter was exposed to is just jaw-dropping. And as I looked through it, I was inundated with more disgusting material because there's an algorithm that pushes this deeper and further. And so these young kids are being exposed to really just fetish, horrible material that confuses them and also makes these girls, as they watch what happens to women in these porn sites, they don't want to be that woman. They don't want to be subjected to it. So you see this non-binary identity or asexual identity emerging.
You know, it reminds me of a story. We were going to talk about it last week. We didn't get to it. Of the rise in choking of young women as sex partners and how, I mean, the numbers were stunning. I don't have them in front of me, but it was like a majority, a high majority of young girls have seen this, have been asked to do it, say that they've asked their partners to do it to them. This choking, where they go online and they look at videos on how to get choked, where to have your partner choke you exactly so you can, you know, live. And I just think of these young girls who are having this gender confusion as a result of the social contagion, seeing videos like that, like in order to please your lover, you have to let him nearly asphyxiate you. And then thinking, no, I'm so out. I don't want any piece of this. And I thought it was interesting too, Aaron, how you talked about the body changes. I hadn't really considered it, but you know, the prepubescent girls look very much like boys in their body type. You know, they're straight, sort of straight down for the most part, from the shoulders down. And for them, pausing puberty and maintaining that shape may feel like just normalization. You know, I'm just going to stay normal if I pause my puberty and I take a cross-sex hormone to just stop these changes from happening to me. I'm going to stay in the place I'm comfortable, which is like the place I've been up to age 11, which makes it especially dangerous, right? I'm going to stay in this safe body and I'm not going to become the girl who has to get anally raped or choked in order to have a womanhood, which is what they're being fed via these vile sites.
Yeah, absolutely. These girls want to escape womanhood because of the belief that this is what they have to subject their bodies to. And there's also, you know, these girls develop at a younger age than their mental health, or that their, you know, brains can comprehend. So they're not sexual beings, but their bodies become sexualized on the exterior. So they have men looking at them and they don't want that. We're also raising a bunch of kids that don't want to have distress. So having a period every month is distressful. And doctors are now giving out, you know, period suppression medicine at a child's whim because she just doesn't want to go through what it's like to be a woman. I mean, we're normalizing all this very, predacious activity. We're turning children into young sexual beings, which they shouldn't be. We see this in every state with the books that are being exposed to our kids. And then we're telling kids also that they don't have to grow up at the same time.
My team just forwarded. This is from a New York Times op-ed by Peggy Orenstein, who wrote the book Boys and Sex. Nearly two-thirds of women in her most recent campus representative survey of 5,000 students at a major Midwestern university, nearly two-thirds said a partner had choked them during sex. One-third in their most recent encounter. The rate of those women who said that they were between the ages of 12 and 17 the first time it happened had shot up 40%. 40% from her last survey. She said, I started to ask more. The stories piled up. Another sophomore confided she enjoyed being choked by her boyfriend, though it was important for a partner to be properly educated, pressing on the sides of the neck, for example, rather than the trachea. Note, there is no safe way to strangle someone. A male freshman said, girls expected to be choked. And even though he didn't want to do it, refusing would make him seem like a simp. And a senior in high school was angry that her friends called her vanilla when she complained that her boyfriend had choked her. She was vanilla because she didn't want to be choked. This is just one example. We're down a lane here, but just one example on what's being fed to young girls online for people who don't understand what they could possibly see that might make them say, I don't want to live life in this body or be a member of the sex to whom this happens. I could be dead by age 19. I know it sounds like, oh, you should have a firmer foundation than that. But as you point out, most of these girls who will see this will have already been fed a vile diet from backdoor sites. I mean, when you mentioned Google Live Docs and Pinterest, even I, who spend a lifetime talking about these websites, did not know you could backdoor those sites with this type of filth.
Yeah, there's no parental blockage that you can put on these phones to protect your kids. It just doesn't exist. I did it. I had anti-porn sites put on. I did all sorts of things with my daughter's phone. I eventually had to take the phone, the iPad, turn the internet down, off to get this indoctrination from continuously flowing towards her. I mean, these kids now at the age of 10 15% of 10-year-olds have already watched hardcore porn. 10 years old. So when we look at like this trans movement, what is it designed for? It's designed to sexualize our children. It's designed to sterilize our children. I mean, think about this for a second. You put a child on puberty blockers, a boy on puberty blockers. His penis never grows. Sorry to be gross here, but I'm going to be graphic. His penis never grows. So it stays like a micro penis, a little boy's penis for life. Think of the fetish with that. These boys don't age. They look young because of the estrogen. This is fetish. We saw with Michael Schellenberger's WPATH files, the fetish component of the transgender movement. We now have human beings that are being operated on. They continue to have their penis, and then they are being given a neo vagina. So it's somebody with a penis and a vagina. This is what we're doing now. It's sick.
I know that there's somebody at that WPATH, which is the organization to which states and schools look for guidance on how to handle all of these issues. And there is someone named Laura Jacobs, who's a contributor to WPATH and the so-called standards of care. This guy you found on fetish sites and has some weird obsessions that you found as well. Maybe you can tell us what they are, but this is one of the people connected with this WPATH, which is supposedly the gold standard in advising those in charge.
This man is a contributor for the adolescent section, non-binary, for the WPATH, so-called standards of care. You're a lawyer, Megan, I'm a lawyer. They're not standards of care by the legal terminology.
Going back, because I know a lot of parents are going to have this question, you did manage to stop it with your daughter, which just seems like finding a unicorn these days. How did you do it?
I went directly in. I did not affirm her. I made it very clear to her that I love her and that I would lay down my life for her, but I would not buy into this ideology. I started to protest and I left my signs all over the house. I left all my books all over the house. I counted on the fact that for 13 years, we had a great loving relationship and that she would respect me and that her real self was truly in there. I took her out of the public schools. I took away the phone. I took away the internet. I took her out to nature. I gave up my life for her life.
Oh, you give me the chills, as any mother would, but most just don't know what to do. They stop with the psychiatrist who says, affirm or she's going to kill herself. It takes a very strong and very well-informed mom or dad to say, no, I'm not doing that.
That's right, but it has to be done, and it can be done. And there are actually thousands of parents who've gotten their children out of the gender cult. They just don't speak about it, or they're silenced. I've been silenced by the left media, you know, nonstop since I started speaking about 4 years ago, because we're the best kept secret. Because we're liberals and we're Democrats and we don't believe in this gender ideology garbage. And we don't follow the narrative and they try to silence us.
So you will not be silenced. And that brings me to what's happening in California and the effort that you have underway. And please, please listen to this, folks, because Aaron needs your help. We should all be paying attention to California. Not only did all these wacky car standards that we're now looking at that the Biden administration is enforcing on us, like no more EVs by a certain year, 2033, whatever it is, or only EVs, I should say. That's all based on California. Like, and I know you've said, Aaron, as California goes, so goes the nation. Sadly, that's true. So pay attention. What exactly are you looking for help with? What's the petition and what are you trying to stop?
So here in California, we put forth a petition called protectkidsca.com. That's the website that you can go to. You can download the petition and sign it and send it in by May 15th. And this will get this measure on the ballot. Anyone in the nation can donate to the endeavor. And I encourage them to do so because, like you said, as California goes, so goes the nation. Title IX already happened in the state of California. Medi-Cal is already paying for all these, you know, trans, so-called sex changes. We started all. We have males in our female prisons. But back to the ballot initiative, it's going to do three major things. It is going to get boys out of girls' sports, bathrooms, and changing rooms. It's going to define the word female and male in biological scientific terms. I can't believe that we have to do that, but that's where we are. The second thing that the ballot initiative will do is to stop all so-called sex changes on minors, no puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, or surgeries on children. The third aspect of the initiative will stop schools from lying and deceiving parents when their children are gender questioning, and also will prevent schools from socially transitioning these kids by giving them binders, by giving them changes of clothes, by giving them trans tape behind their parents' backs. So it is a huge undertaking, but just imagine the bluest of blue state stopping, you know, so-called sex changes on children. The rest of the nation will follow. I guarantee it. If we don't stop what's happening in California, it doesn't matter that 23 red states stopped gender interventions on kids, because California is a trans sanctuary state. That means any child from any state can run away to California, and we will hide them, and we will protect them, and we will give them a new family, and we will transition them. So,
and doctors too.
And that's correct. The doctors can break their law in Tennessee, get on a plane, fly out to California, and we will hide them. No long arm of the law will, you know, police will not go find this lawbreaker. They have sanctuary in our state. And our governor, Governor Newsom, is raising millions of dollars to go advertise in those red states to, hey, come to California. You want to get your body parts removed? Come to California. We'll do it for you. Doctors, you want to break the law? Come to California. So it doesn't end until we end it in California. That's why this ballot initiative should be a national issue. Everyone should be watching, everyone should be contributing, and anyone in California should be gathering those signatures. It can be done. I'm a Democrat. I get Democrats to sign this, no problem.
So you need 500,000 signatures?
546,000 signatures by May 28th, which means we need them mailed in by May 15th.
Okay. Protectkidsca.com. That's only relevant for signing the petition if you're in California, you're a Californian, but anybody can donate to support this fight. And why wouldn't we? And they too should go to protectkidsca.com.
That's correct.
Erin, oh my gosh, I worry. I worry. I just feel like California is so left. I know there's 40 million people there, but can you find 500,000 to sign this thing?
They definitely exist. There's a lot of conservatives. There's a lot of independents, and there's a lot of Democrat families who are against this. They just don't know that it's even happening.
Right.
Some of them don't even know.
Like Northern, some of the ones in Northern California, Orange County, right? Like there's San Diego. There are pockets that are more red leaning. That's how we've had Republican governors out there. You just got to get the word out.
That's correct. And they need to start believing. And thank you so much for having me on, because the press does not report on this. They're not reporting that 13-year-old little girls in the state of California are getting their breasts removed, their healthy breasts. 15-year-olds, little boys are getting their, you know, genitals removed. This is happening in our state, and the press does not talk about it.
You know, I'm going to ask my friend Adam Carolla to promote this too. I know he's with us on this, and he's got a huge show, and he's California-based. I know he's got a lot of California listeners, and that could help as well. But I mean, you look at it that way, 500,000 out of 40 million, that we should be able to do. ProtectKidsCA.com, ProtectKidsCA.com. If you're a Californian not living in California right now, but you still, you know, your driver's license still says California, is that valuable still to you?
If you're registered to vote in California and you've moved to another state, you know, there's laws in your state on when you have to re-register in your state. So if you move to Florida, lucky you. If you haven't changed your registration, I think there's some rules that you would have to follow.
If you're still permitted to vote in California, then you can.
That's right.
You can sign. You can sign for this. So that's important, because that's a lot. That's a wide swath, and not all of them may be in California at this particular moment. ProtectKidsCA.com. Please come back. We'll mention it again too on the show, just to make sure that the word keeps going out. Very worried and also inspired by your effort. And God bless your daughter too.
Yeah, I'm lucky. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so lucky. And thank you for the blueprint for anybody who's struggling with this. It can be done. As she points out, a lot of families have managed to stop it. You don't have to go along with it just because a school or a psychiatrist with an agenda says you do. Erin Friday, all the best.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Megyn Kelly Show. No BS, no agenda, and no fear.
Once upon a time, three bears found a golden-haired guest who wouldn't leave their home.
This Dunkin' Cold is just right. And this Dunkin' Cold is just right.
Should we introduce ourselves?
No, Barry. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.